Since moving to Oklahoma and joining the Memorial Road family, I have been absolutely amazed by the congregation's heart. Whenever a need is presented, you don't just answer the call, you do so with abundance. If the Apostle Paul were to write a letter to the church today, I believe he would boast of your generosity just as he did the Macedonian churches in his second letter to the Corinthians. Last week, Phil encouraged us to live a life that demonstrates our belief. One of the most tangible ways we do this is through our sacrificial giving. Giving isn't easy. It requires us to take the resources that we might need for our future and entrust them to God. But when we give, we are declaring our belief that God will take care of us, that we rely on Him, not just ourselves. Your giving also fuels the Memorial Road mission, which is to imitate Christ by living good lives, doing good works, and sharing the good news. While the dollar amount is important, what the works that are accomplished is what matters most. Phil is going to share later on some of the amazing works made possible by your gifts, but I want to highlight that your impact reaches far beyond the walls of this building. One example is that you subsidize the cost for missionaries and families who attend the Euro-American Family Retreat, which may not sound like much to you, but it means a lot to them. And they have written to express their appreciation. Victor Barvix from Latvia wrote saying, "I want to thank Memorial Road for blessing me and so many disciples. Thank you for your love and care for the church in Europe." Similarly, Arjan Muka from Albania said, "I know how important this retreat is to all the brothers and sisters participating. May God bless you for everything that you do in His name." Regarding our financial health, the 2025 weekly budget was approximately $114,900, which was a 2.6% increase from the previous year. I am happy to report that the congregation has responded faithfully. Our giving to date has met our weekly budget with over $5 million offered. This is the highest giving amount ever and is evidence of your faith that God provides. As I mentioned, it's not the amount that matters, it's the work that's done. Your giving has allowed us to use almost $900,000 to share the good news across the globe. We've done good works by providing over $15,000 for disaster relief, nearly $14,000 for children's homes who care for orphans, and over $12,000 combined to provide food and meals for local families. Thank you. Thank you for living out the mission of Memorial Road Church of Christ. Looking ahead, the budget for 2026 has been submitted and tentatively approved by the elders following an extensive process involving ministers, staff, and ministry leaders. The goal is $120,053 a week, which represents a 4.5% increase. The final approval will occur in February once the elders have observed the giving trends for the first few months of the year. Copies of the budget and summaries are at all the pickup places, the usual pickup places. The full budget can be found at mrcc.org/budget. And purpose cards are also available at the pickup spots in the auditorium and information central. We encourage you to pray with your family about how you can support these good works. Completed purpose cards can be given to an elder or turned into Tammy McKeever at the church office, which will be kept in strict confidence. And you can also email Tammy at tammy.mckeever@mrcc.org. Your shepherds are deeply appreciative of your heart for giving. We are confident that our Father in heaven is pleased. May He continue to pour out His blessings on Memorial Road and those we serve.
You would please return the welcome books to the left side of the pew. As we sing this next song, then those designated to pick them up will do that. God continues to bless us, so let's sing of his goodness this morning.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He cares for me and he cares for me. Oh, he cares for me. He cares for me. He's so good to me. I love him so, and I love him so. Oh, I.
Be standing with me if you would. You have children ages 3 years to kindergarten during the singing of this next song. Invited to take your children to Kingdom Kids. And if you're visiting with us and you have children in those age ranges, you are absolutely welcome to take your children also to Kingdom Kids. Song before we hear God's word this morning. Praise. Sing about the things that God continues to do through us and how we encourage one another by giving him praise. Let's sing this one.
I'll praise in the valley. Oh,
Good morning, church. A few weeks ago, I was in Belpre, Ohio, speaking at a youth rally, and one of the things that I enjoyed the most was getting to reconnect with a good friend of mine named Travis Williams. He's the outreach minister at the Belpre Church of Christ. Great guy, salt of the earth, loves the church. And we sat down at dinner one day, and he told me this fascinating story. So the last few years, Travis has been attempting to partner with several organizations, donors, people, and get a playground built in the center of his city that is conducive for children with disabilities. And this comes out of a very sad story in his life. 7 or 8 years ago, his sweet daughter named Hadassah, who had special needs, tragically passed away. And so this is one of the ways that he's been processing grief, is thinking about what could I do to honor her memory. And so it's been a long process. In fact, he told me early on he applied for a grant, and he actually got some money from this grant. He got $10,000, and he was really excited about that until he started researching how much it actually costs to put in a nice playground. And $10,000 gets you about 2 monkey bars. So he needed a lot more money. So he decided to be very patient with the process. 18 months ago, he's walking through a mall. He sees an elderly man in the food court who is struggling to breathe. So he runs down there and he asks the man, "Are you okay?" And the man shakes his head. Travis said, "Can you breathe?" And the man shakes his head. Travis says, "Would you like me to perform the Heimlich on you?" And the man did this. So Travis got behind him, heaved, in Travis's words, for a full 60 seconds as hard as he can. And then a piece of orange chicken shoots out like a cannon from this man's mouth, and Travis actually saved the guy's life. 2 weeks later, Travis goes over to this man's house to check on him. Travis has a pastoral heart. He's having a conversation with this man and his wife, and they spend about an hour together, and eventually the wife says, "Hey, since you're a minister, I just wanted to ask you a question. My husband and I, we've actually been praying about giving a large sum of money to a charity, but we're just not quite sure which charity to give to. Do you have any ideas?" So if you'll show this next picture, 2 months ago, they opened up this playground in the middle of the city, and it's called Hattie's Playground, and it's available to all children with disabilities. The next picture shows you what it looks like. Isn't that amazing? So it reminds me of this quote by author Mark Batterson, and here's the main point of the day. I'm going to give it to you up front. If you do little things like they're big things, then God, not always, but will often do big things like they're little things. If you do little things like they're big things, God does big things like they are little things. You see, God has a job, and you have a job, and they're not the same job. God's actually pretty good at his job. He's got a pretty good track record of the extraordinary, the miraculous, and the impossible. And you and I have a pretty good track record of trying to do those things and not doing well. Now, of course, we all want the big things to happen. Who doesn't want the war to end or the sick person to get better? What Christian doesn't want 1,000 people to get baptized on a Sunday? Who doesn't want to snap their fingers and make some big relational problem go away? We all want that, but Batterson's quote reminds us that God's doing the big stuff. He's the one that's building the church. He's the one that's healing the sick and raising the dead and recalling the prodigals and restoring the marriages and ending the wars and saving the souls. That's his job. And he does those things, and he can do those things, and he will do those things in his timing according to his will. And the reason that we get so frustrated is because we're trying to do things that actually are not in our job description. We were never asked to force things that we cannot control. We were simply asked to do little things as if they were really big things. This is how Paul puts it in one of his letters. He famously says this. Read this out loud with me. "Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Say it one more time. "Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." And this is Travis. Travis does little things like they're big things. He'll take out the trash. He gets on his knees and looks children in the eye at church on a Sunday morning and talks to them. He checks on his friends. He visits the hospitals. He does little things like they are big things. There's arguably no greater example of this principle in the Bible than the Old Testament classic story of Jericho. So if you have not read this story in a while, here's the background. Israel has been rescued from Egypt. They wandered through the wilderness for 40 years, and they are now on the precipice of taking the land that was promised to Abraham many centuries ago. And they approach this city called Jericho. Here's the battle plan from God on that day. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout, and then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in." That's the plan. From archaeological digs, we know that this was not a big city. The wall has a circumference somewhere between 0.5 mile and 1 mile long. And so the first few days when they're marching just one lap, this is basically like you getting out and getting your steps in. Not too hard. But on that 7th day, that would be a long trek, possibly 7 miles long. And so I want you to think for a minute. Just imagine what it would be like to be various characters in this story on that day. So first, think if you were the watchman in Jericho and your job was to go up on the wall and look out and observe what was going on with the people below. And so let's imagine that your boss is below you asking you questions. And so you go up to the wall and you're looking out and your boss says, "All right, what do you see?" You say, "Well, the infantry, they're coming in." And then your boss says, well, do you see the archers?" "No, sir, no archers." Do you see the battering ram?" "No, sir, no battering ram." "Do you see those ladders that J.R. Tolkien will write about in Lord of the Rings centuries from now?" "No, sir, there are no ladders of that sort." "Well, what do you see then?" "Taking a morning stroll, sir." That's what they're doing. Like, it's absurd. They're just walking. Like, who would ever do this? So now, I'm going to take a lap. I'm going to pretend like you sections here, you're Jericho. Sorry, you got the short end of the stick. I'm going to take one lap around you. And while I walk, I just want you to imagine with me various characters here. So imagine that we are the young punk soldier now, the one with the bad attitude. So they're just like, "Why are we here? Tired of walking. When will we get there? I'm thirsty. This is ridiculous." Like, you got to think there's people like that there. And now I want you to imagine the seasoned soldier. He's been around the block. He's fought a lot of battles. He knows what's up. He's experienced. And he's walking. Like, can you imagine how frustrated that guy would be? Like, what are you doing, Joshua? Like, this is not how you win battles. There's no plan. We're getting tired. We're weak. We're hungry. We're thirsty. Like, we should not be walking here. We need a plan. Let's do something. Come on. Like, you got to think he's frustrated. And now imagine the musicians. Like, it's very simple. They're just thinking, "I really wish I had a sword instead of a flute. Like, this is not what I want to be doing." And now imagine Joshua. So Joshua, he's leading everybody. He's got to know that not everybody's on board with this plan. And yet he's just taking deep breaths. It's been a week. They're still marching. Nothing's happened. And he has this faithfulness to say, "All right, I'm just going to keep trusting God." So let me ask you, who do you think you would have been on that day? I'd like to be like Joshua, but no way. I'd be so irritated if I was in the army in Israel marching around Jericho, because I'm the kind of person, I like to know what's going on. And I'm also the kind of person that when there's a problem, let's tackle it. Like, let's come up with a plan, let's come up with some strategy, and let's execute the plan. Like, let's go. When I get stuck in traffic jams, I'm the guy that I will try to find the back alternate route like 45 seconds into the traffic jam. Like, I can't tell you how many times I have got off the highway way too early and lost so much time because I wanted something to happen. And I know at least some of you are kind of like me on that front. And that's why this story it's really instructive for people like me. Imagine what it would have been like to be there on the day that the wall fell. So you've marched around the city all these times. You're skeptical. You get around the seventh lap. All the musicians play their instruments, and then you hear the crack. The brick, stone, the mortar start to crack, and then with one deafening roar, it all just collapses at your feet. Not because you did anything, but because of the power of God. Like, I would need to do some repenting if I was there on that day. You see, the reality is, most frustration in life occurs because we're trying to play God rather than be Jesus. Just run a test this week. Every time you get frustrated, ask yourself, why am I frustrated? Whether it's road rage or your team loses or somebody else gets the promotion that you thought you deserved or someone gets angry at you and you're frustrated. Why are you frustrated? Well, it's probably because you're trying to play God, to play puppet master, to create a world where everything bends to your will rather than be Jesus. You and I were both asked to do little things like they're big things. And when we do that, God does a pretty good job of doing the big things as if they were little things. A few days ago, I was reading my Bible and praying, and this famous line from Jesus really struck me. It's when he simply says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things." And those two words, "few things," really struck me. I want to be that kind of a person who does the little things well and trusts God to handle the big stuff. So another arena in which this principle is at play is in our own church family. It's amazing how when we do little things, God really does tend to do the big things here. And I am thinking about that in line with our giving. I mean, think about it. Every week, the vast majority of you give, and you give a lot. So some of you write checks and put them in the collection plate. Some of you pull cash out of your wallets and put them in the collection plate. Some of you give online. And you do it week after week after week after week. Nobody says thank you. You don't get phone calls from ministers and elders saying, "Wow, thanks for giving this week." You just do it faithfully, in secret, behind the scenes, little by little by little by little. And it's amazing. And it's not just the regular contribution. A few weeks ago, we did the food drive deal. I could barely find a place to preach because there was so much food on the stage. It was amazing. Even today, just this little stuff. It's the Magi boxes. A few weeks ago, a bunch of you went out and took Thanksgiving meals all across the city to a lot of people. A bunch of more of you stood in line and helped serve the homeless at Second Chances. I mean, things like this are happening all the time, and they're, in some sense, just little. But then every once in a while, you pull back and you have to say, well, what's God doing through all this? Well, he's actually doing quite a bit. There's going to be 300 children get presents that wouldn't otherwise get them because of these efforts. 2,000 people ate Thanksgiving meal a few weeks ago that would not have eaten Thanksgiving because of what's going on in this church. Last week, second service, 6 people got baptized. I didn't know 6 people were going to get baptized. Like, things just, God tends to do his job pretty well if we just let him work. This year, Jeff mentioned this record-breaking Mission Sunday giving. I mean, these things happen all the time. So I'd like to highlight 2 stories in particular. Before I do that, I do want to mention there's so many things I'm not going to say today. There's so many great stats and stories about what God's doing in and through this particular church family, both locally and across the world. You can find all those stats and stories online, Year in Review, mrcc.org/year-in-review, and there's a lot of really, really good things to read. So this afternoon, when you're watching football, when you're trying to think about what to read or watch, go online and look at some of these stats and stories. But I want to highlight 2 and show you some videos about some pretty remarkable things God's doing in and through this church family. So first, 5 years ago, the Serve Midtown Church of Christ started as a church plant from this congregation. And they met in Brown's Bakery for about a year, right in the heart of Midtown on 10th Street. They outgrew that. They moved down the street to a building called the Cross and Crown Ministry Building. That building had a lot of significant roof damage, and they had to leave there. So they've actually been without a permanent location for over a year. And so I want you to watch this video to tell the story of some of the things that have transpired recently.
2015 was when the Memorial Road staff proposed the idea of doing two church plants, and that ended up being Midtown and Heritage.
We started in a bakery. That was great for several years until the Browns sold the bakery. Corey had come along and started being our full-time minister, and because of his connection with Cross and Crown, they offered their facilities for us to have worship over there.
We could have stayed at Cross and Crown for a long time. It was a comfortable place for us.
Due to factors we couldn't control, we ended up meeting at this Wiley Post Event Center, which was not what we wanted at all. And it's kind of hard to believe that we've been doing that for close to a year.
There's definitely been like this period of uncertainty, where do we go from here? Are we gonna make it? Honestly, like we were worried. And very quickly, we all realized like, no, God has better things in store for us. We just need to be faithful.
The faithfulness and relationship, I think, has been the thing that's kept everybody together.
And now we're in a building where we wanna be for the amount of money that I originally thought we wanted to spend.
We are sitting inside of what is our official first permanent building purchase. As you're watching this, is gonna be the first Sunday where we're worshiping in this place for the very first time, being able to bring a different energy to this part of the neighborhood and hopefully start to see where we can meet some needs along the way.
This is a church that really has a heart for people who are in need, materially and spiritually.
Who are talking about wanting a place that was inviting. Mainly for people who are off the streets or people who maybe look at a church and feel uncomfortable at the thought of going inside.
You hopefully feel immediately welcomed when you come in, just because it's sort of a weird reassurance of like, oh, they have a little bit of everything here. You don't always find that everywhere.
We don't have the money to fix up much more than this, but everybody is excited.
Everybody has prayed diligently. We've talked about waiting and being patient, wondering what God had for us next.
Each little step along the way led us to the place where we were ready to take this step.
There have been a number of times that I've driven to church on Sunday morning thinking, we may be done, this may be it.
God was there at every step of it, and that's something that's become so evident for every single one of us, and not just the cohesion of how the pieces have come together.
The biggest things in the world are made up of 1,000 small things. Just those everyday interactions, the celebrating with each other, the being sad with each other, dealing with the weather, dealing with the lack of heat, dealing with the lack of AC, but everybody just being, you know, loving and positive, you know, being faithful in the small things.
We had talked about specifically what we prayed to see in a church building, the characteristics, the location, the accessibility, the neighborhood, the needs. It's genuinely as if God was listening to us with a checklist and going through each box and saying, yeah, okay, we'll do that.
I don't know that there's a big plan to do all these different things, but can we not just meet in this space right here and just be the church? And if we are the church, then we're going to be doing things with our neighbors.
Unlimited possibilities, I would say. And so I think everybody's having fun coming up with different ideas of things we can do, ways we can reach out.
God's got it figured out. We may not see it yet, but he's got it figured out. And all he asks of us is to be present today and do the thing that he puts in front of us today.
Isn't that awesome? Can we celebrate what God's doing in OKC? So many of those people are such good friends of mine, and I've just kind of walked with them over the years. It's been hard, but it's amazing that today, this morning, right now, they're getting to meet for the very first time. Ministry begins with imagination, and I as I look at that space on the screen there, I can just imagine what God's going to do there for years to come. So much of that is tied to what we're doing week in, week out, just being faithful in our giving. We do the little things, God does the big things. I want to highlight one more area of kingdom growth. So one of the most fertile grounds for ministry in the OKC area in the last few years has been within the Latino community, and specifically second generation Latinos who speak English and are also interested in faith. And one church that has made incredible inroads in this effort is the South Walker Church of Christ. And they've done a remarkable job. They were featured recently in the Christian Chronicle for just doing such a innovative work in ministry down in Oklahoma City. Well, they've been seeking more help from other churches. Well, we've actually had a presence in South Oklahoma City, just a few miles from their building, for a really long time, both with the Capitol Hill Church of Christ and also the Lighthouse Medical Clinic. Well, over the last few years, our leadership has been assessing the viability of the Capitol Hill Church of Christ congregation, while also keeping an eye on the ever-changing needs of that particular community. And this past year, God has opened the door for what I would call a new era of ministry for the Memorial Road Church of Christ in South Oklahoma City as we, number one, continue our Lighthouse Medical Clinic efforts, which are remarkable for so many people. Two, as we bring the chapter of the Capitol Hill Church of Christ to a close. And three, as we open a new chapter with the South Walker Church of Christ. Really exciting things are happening, and so I'd like you to watch this video to hear more about that.
South Walker is located on 52nd and South Walker, within a mile, 3 miles, and 5 miles of our zip code. About 67% of our community is Hispanic.
But if you dig down even deeper, 80 to 90% of the school age population, 2 miles in any direction from our building, are Latino.
When we think about this growth of Oklahoma City, it's moving south actually pretty rapidly. And I'm really excited what the next 5 years, or maybe in the next 10 years, will look like down here. And guys, we're going to be right in the center of it at that time.
So our approach is really just to make friends in the community. Our Spanish language Bible class is really taking the concepts of just community and being a community within the community. And so they're actually reaching out to friends and neighbors and family members, and they're kind of becoming a power source for our congregation's growth.
And we're excited about a partnership with South Walker because it will help us connect dots. And connecting dots for thankfulness and who's serving you and being able to communicate to our Hispanic brothers and sisters is super important.
I'm excited about what's happening at South Walker. For us at Lilyfield, for me personally, working here has always been like a mission field. These are, again, people who God loves, people who are valuable. We also see that there's just this tremendous opportunity to minister to people who are in a lot of pain.
We have English classes every week that have brought in hundreds of people, and people have been converted and brought to the Lord whose first initial contact with the church was an English class. We partner with Lilyfield, that is known to many people at Memorial Road, and they conduct some of their classes in our building, and so we've made many contacts in that way. And then programs like WizKid Tutoring, the Lynn Institute, which has as its objective to kind of improve health outcomes, and we've directly converted people whose first contact was that class.
We aren't here just because we're a clinic. We're here because we're people who love the Lord, and we want to be His hands and His arms of Jesus, and we want to help them get better. And we hope, intentionally hope, that with that help, they'll want to know our Jesus too.
Every single week, people who might not walk in the doors of a church are walking in to come to our parent support group. And that takes courage for a church to say, we're gonna open our building. And so all of a sudden, this community sees this building as a place that they can receive something that they need. And isn't that the way that we open a door?
We're just getting started where we're at right now at South Walker. So I think the future will be able to touch more lives, be able to bring more awareness to what resources we have here at South Walker, and be able to share the gospel with so many more people.
We're getting ready to just reach out, possibly plant churches in these communities. Our vision's really big, that we just can't do it on our own.
We wouldn't be able to do half of the things that we want to do without you guys. Our congregation is very small, and so to have the support of a congregation as big as Memorial Road just confirms that what we're doing here at South Walker is great, and you guys see that, so that means a lot to me.
Psalm 78 talks about how we need to inculcate God's words to the next generation, because in doing so, they're going to have hope in God, and that's really what I see South Walker doing, working across ethnicities, cultures, languages, and generations.
Again, let's give God the glory. So I share these stories with you today for two reasons. One, just to remind you that your giving makes a difference. Two, it's to remind all of us that sometimes when we get in our routines of show up at church, go to service, go to Bible class, that's great. It's easy to lose sight of the fact that Memorial Road is more than 2221 East Memorial Road. The kingdom footprint is extensive, and the faithfulness of this church directly correlates with the faithfulness and expansion with other congregations and ministry projects locally and throughout the world. In fact, just to give you a picture or an image of the impact specifically in South Oklahoma City, I'd like to ask a few groups of people to stand up for just a minute. If you have ever volunteered in South Oklahoma City with any ministry that Memorial Road has offered down there, would you please stand up where you are right now? This could be Capitol Hill. This could be South Walker. This could be the Lighthouse. This could be Serve Midtown. This could be Empower OKC. This could be Feed His Sheep. There's so many ways that we bless South OKC. So everybody take a minute and look around the room. Like we love the city, and we can give glory to God for what he has done in and through this church for many years to come. If you'll bow with me in a word of prayer. Father, we give you praise and glory and honor. We do the little things. You do the big things. And we repent for the days when we try to arrest control from you. Your God, we're not. And so I pray that you would help us to simply follow Jesus. Father, I'm thankful for every baby held, every class taught, every meal served, every connection made, every song led, every van driven, every VBS performed in the years gone by in South Oklahoma City. And I pray that you would raise up a new generation of people to love that city just as much as you love that city. And so, Father, empower us, embolden us to share the gospel with a city that desperately needs it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Could everybody else please be standing? We're going to sing a song giving all the glory to God. As we sing this song, if you need to pray with a shepherd about anything going on in your life, they're going to be in the back two atriums, and they'd love to spend some time with you. If you would like to get baptized, I'm not aware of anybody in first service getting baptized, but God might be aware of something that I'm not, as last week with six in second service. So if you would like to get baptized, I'll be down front and would be happy to take care of that for you this morning. Let's praise God.